I wanted to know what everybody thought of me, and I wasn't scared to ask. And well, I take that back. I was terrified.
Yeah.
But I followed through because I knew if I did something wrong, I didn't want to do it again. And I will never forget the questionnaire I got back from one bride. And she was like, you know, you posted our sneak peeks on Instagram without asking us first. I have never once done that again, ever. How rude of me to not be grateful for somebody trusting me so much and seeing it as a marketing opportunity.
Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast brought to you by CloudSpot, the easiest way to deliver and sell your photos online. Hey, I am your host, Raymond Hatfield, and each week I interview one of the world's most interesting photographers to learn what it really takes to capture beautiful images and compelling stories so that you can start to do the same. Today, we have an episode from the BPP Vault. So after years of interviewing world-class photographers, I've built a rich library of photo tips and tricks of things that guests have shared to help you to get better at capturing amazing images. Now, with new listeners finding the show every day, these rewind interviews allow for new listeners to discover the gold photo nuggets from the past and allow longtime listeners to revisit and hear an interview with fresh ears and more hands-on camera experience to draw from. In today's interview, I am chatting with Ellie McKinney, who is a wedding photographer who, well, she achieved a remarkable level of success, hitting six figures in revenue in her first year of being a full-time photographer. Now, what sets Ellie apart is, I think it's her openness and her vulnerability. Now, in this interview, Ellie shares her unique perspective on photography. It's the elements that define her stunning work and the key actions that have helped her to achieve the level of success that she has so quickly. Remember to stick around until after the interview, where I will share with you my three biggest takeaways from this interview with Ellie McKinney. So with that, let's go ahead and just jump right on in. Why don't you tell me how you got into photography in the first place and when you knew that photography was going to play an important role in your life?
Oh, this is so good. My story's a little interesting. So I have a background in retail. I was a business major. I love marketing, visual merchandising, all of these things. And my cousin was getting married and her dad had a camera and she said, you're going to be great at photography. And I had like made music videos of my little brother to his rap songs when we were younger. But like, it wasn't something that I was confident going into, like, yes, I'm going to nail these engagement photos. This was like 2010. But you know what? She had faith. And I thought, worst case scenario, she can hire someone after this. This does not have to be the end all be all. Basically, I took them downtown. I chose some spots, fell in love with it. Oh, I thought I was so good. I mean, I was looking at these pictures like, I can't wait to edit these. And, you know, this is whenever like sepia or separate, however you say it, was a thing. And I was just like rocking these awful edits and just loving life. I think it was a little bit of the excitement and confidence, but she asked me to photograph her wedding after that. Crazy enough.
That's a big step.
Oh my gosh. Mind you, it was more of like a do-it-yourself wedding. Like my grandma had made the cake and they chose to do it at a bed and breakfast. So it was a little bit smaller, more intimate, not anything that was too intricate. And so I did it, fell in love with it and didn't stop photographing weddings from there. So I'm definitely somebody who wants to be the very best at something. And so I ended up being promoted at my full-time job a few years later. So I took 3 to 4 years off of photography. It's almost like I shut it off completely because I wanted to get promoted on the retail executive side. Then I had a little boy and realized I wanted to make my own schedule. I wanted to be in charge of the direction that I could take. I didn't want anybody else putting a cap on how much success I could have. So I wanted to get out of the corporate world and really be able to own it on my own. And so I've been full-time for 3 years now.
Oh my gosh. First of all, congratulations. That's very exciting. Taking that leap is obviously It can be scary at times, but that's great to hear, you know, and even see that you've had, you know, really, really big success in terms of your business. Now, I want to go back to that, you know, that first engagement shoot. I want to go back to that wedding.
Oh my gosh.
We're talking about our earliest days. We're talking about our mistakes. You know, looking back at those photos, what are some things that when you think about those photos or you see those photos that you think to yourself, oh my gosh, I would totally do, you know, X, Y, or Z differently today?
Oh, it's just the basics. And these are the first things that I notice in anybody's photography. And honestly, I'm not a rules-driven person. So the rules of photography, I love breaking them, trying to see how I can make something even better if I just were to keep them in mind, but still bend the rules a little bit, if that makes sense. And so whenever we're thinking about photography, the most simple thing that you can do to make a photo more aesthetically pleasing for the most part is having a straight horizon line. So if a sunset is totally tilted and it goes from corner to corner on a photograph, if you guys can picture this, this was the biggest go-to mistake that I mean, almost every image, I'm like, do I stand crooked? Like, what really happened?
Do I stand crooked?
This many things to go wrong. And things like that, you know, I even posted, just to be vulnerable, a picture the other day where a pole was behind the bride. And so it's like coming out of the back of her head in the image. And like, that's a huge no-no. I did it because the bride said that was her favorite, one of her favorite moments. And so I really wanted to showcase that and said, screw the rules. If this is something my bride loved, I want to be able to celebrate her in this moment. So but when every picture has something that's almost totally wrong in those first few moments of grabbing a camera and just going for it, that's when you got to just cringe a little.
Right. Of course. And we all have those moments for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I get it. Well, now, is there any way that you can kind of put yourself back in that headspace of shooting? Was there anything maybe in the moment that, you know, obviously that with the, you know, crooked horizons and whatnot, that's something that we really realize after the fact. And sometimes I'll be shooting and I'll think to myself, we're level here. And then I get it in the computer and I'm like, we are not. You know, it's always about 7 or 8 degrees off for some reason. But in that moment while you were shooting, was there anything that maybe wasn't working, or did you have any sort of aha moment at some point where photography just started to click for you?
Yes, it was during the engagement session. And I couldn't get the lighting right. Everything was overexposed. I didn't know the term overexposed in the moment, but I just knew it did not look right. And and skin tones, it was a hot mess. And so I decided to put the camera in manual and try to mess with things. I didn't know what I was doing. I ended up figuring it out. I think I just got lucky from switching a dial. I'm not really sure like what happened in the moment for me, but it was the realization that I can manipulate light and be in charge of what this looks like and how I capture environments. And that for me was one of the most exciting moments to say, oh, I can be in control. I can make this situation better purposefully and intentionally. And of course, I didn't know how, but it just, as soon as I got home, I started Googling. I mean, I was on, and this is whenever, you know, YouTube and Google, you could find like a few things. There was not as much information out there, but there were definitely answers that I was able to use and move forward knowing that I could get better. And so that sparked like this competitive drive within me where it just made me realize there's so much more I need to learn. I'm going to do just that.
Mm-hmm. Was Google, would you say, is that your main source of education?
Absolutely. And trial and error.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's always going to be that trial and error, you know?
Yes.
And then it really depends on the person, whether or not you're going to, I guess, learn from some sort of outside source and try to, I don't know, leapfrog that trial and error, if that's right. the right term there. But like, what were some of those first things that you were searching for? I mean, there's a lot of technicals when it comes to photography. Was there anything that your camera was holding you back from doing?
No. So I ended up, well, yes and no. I ended up investing in my own camera. I got a Canon Rebel T3i. And was just like, oh, this is it. Yeah. I didn't even know what a crop sensor was. And then I realized after a short period of time that my images were not looking like other people's. And so it's just, this is 2014. or around then, I had Instagram for my business. And so you could see what other people were doing constantly. You could see what other people were being able to create. And it was on a different level than what I was doing. So I was like, this, I'm doing something very wrong.
Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com, and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
And
how
so
do you Google that, though? How do you find that out? How do you find out what that answer is?
So I knew I had started to Google ISO. I mean, it's on the camera. Like, I remember specifically a photographer friend and I started around the same time. So we had the ability to go off of one another and ask things and talk about things. Without that, it would have taken me a long time to get anywhere. Sure. He's definitely technologically savvy, and where I was more of the one who pushed us to realize we could make a difference and change things or how to interact with clients and pieces like that. But for him, like he knew what every, like, I'm assuming he read the manual or something. Cause he was like this walking technologically savvy person where I was like, yeah, that like dial you turn at the top or whatever. And so just feeding off of each other and being able to build upon each other. And we found out that this workshop was being hosted for photographers. And it was like in some old warehouse that's near the city we live in. And so we decided to say, hey, what the heck? We need to learn more. Let's just show up, see what this is about. We learned about off-camera flash that day and both of our minds were completely blown.
Of course. Yes.
And so we were like, oh yeah. So we've got more to learn, but we were willing to say, all right, here are resources that are out there that we didn't even necessarily know a few months ago. So what else can we find that are areas where people are offering more information?
So it's just that kind of constant desire to grow and, or I guess, better yourself and grow your understanding is where that drive came from, would you say?
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. So today, obviously, you've been shooting for quite a while. You have an aesthetic. You go to quite a few weddings a year, which is, you know, awesome because there's always cake at weddings, which is my favorite part. Today you have something as a professional photographer that you go for when you're at a wedding. So can you maybe describe the elements of an Ellie McKinney photo for me? Like, what do you look for in an image to capture that's going to make you happy with what it is that you got?
Oh, that's so good. So for me, it's always about the couple first. So I am known as a wedding or elopement photographer. And the main thing that motivates me, I try to, of course, motivate myself before going into a scenario with new ideas or new angles I could try or things like that. I definitely say I constantly do my homework on that side of things, but the couple, the emotion, the interaction that they have with one another, I base all of my photography and the images I take off of that. So as I said earlier, I probably could have Photoshopped that pole out of the back of the photo, and I need to go do that now that I said it out loud on a podcast. But here's the thing is that was when this bride was happiest on her wedding day. Was she going to care what the background looked like? Not so much. Was she going to remember the feeling that she had in that moment? Without a doubt in my mind. So I focus everything on the emotion. So some of my favorite images are up close of the way hands touch or the way someone will kiss their partner's shoulder, or the way that they're going to cheers drinks during a reception. Like, those interaction pieces are what takes priority for me. Now, when I can find cool locations, you best believe my little photographer heart is like amped up, pumped. I'm coming up with all these ideas. I love including nature. So even if it is like a downtown theme, I love providing some type of greenery. I love greens in photos and just like a sense of atmosphere. And I think nature brings that in a beautiful way. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where I'm at. It's going to be about that couple and how they interact with one another. So I feel like that probably wasn't the best answer, because I could come up.
No.
You know,
no, it was.
Yeah.
It was. Okay. It was. I love that, you know, and I think that breaks it down a lot, because there's going to be a lot of photographers who are going to, you know, look for that technical. They're going to focus on the composition. They're going to focus on all these things, which of course you do. But, you know, breaking it down to say, you know what, if I capture and, you know, the interaction that they have with each other and those moments, like, then I did my job. Right.
Yes.
But, you know, as a wedding photographer, I could tell you, I had an engagement session this past weekend, and it's a young couple, and they just felt maybe stiff or not like fully comfortable with each other, you know? So sometimes, you know, what do you do in those situations? How do you ensure that you are able to get the interactions that you're looking for?
Yes. Questionnaires. Hands down, the smartest decision I ever made in my business. So before I meet a couple, I know how they met. So I can bring up some of those things to just have them close their eyes and remember what it was like the first time that they met at that college party. And then they start laughing. Or if it's, you know, the first date that they had that they shared, if they're a romantic couple, then to close their eyes and think about what they noticed in each other first, and to whisper it in each other's ears. So it's more of creating the emotion for them based on information they've already shared with me. So those questionnaires are really give me insight into who they are. And on the questionnaire, I actually let them tell me if they are romantic, if they're a little bit shy. And then at the bottom, I just ask them how they're feeling about their session. And so it's such a broad question, but you would be so surprised at what information. Like, sometimes, you know, it's the bride filling it out, and she's like, oh my gosh, my husband hates photos. Like, he's probably going to be a pain in the butt. So just a heads up. And I'm over here like, oh no, we got this. Don't worry, girl. So it's just nice to get to know their personality. And I do love speaking in person or on Zoom, but with how many weddings I do a year, it's just these questionnaires save so much time and give a place for these clients to feel seen, heard, and valued, and know that I'm going to focus on them in these photos. Even if, you know, they have an epic background, it still is about them.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's not the struggle. Struggle is the wrong word, but I mean, that's the goal, right? Is you really want them to be able to look at these photos years from now and think, well, this is us. Like, this is truly who we are. And that questionnaire's idea is wonderful. You know, I've always done kind of something like that to try to figure out more about them, but I guess I'd never thought about it in the sense of use their own information against them to make you know, better.
I didn't always do it. You know, I had the struggle. Well, I think we can be open and say that the struggle of like getting these clients who didn't want to open up. And so as soon as I realized, well, maybe it's not them, maybe it's something I could do. And so, you know, if they mention champagne in their questionnaire, I'll show up with a bottle of champagne. Hey, I'm ready to invest in some fun stuff to liven them up or whatever it is. And they have fun, like opening it together and spraying it everywhere, or whatever that may be. And just trying to be as personable as possible to help them open up. But it wasn't always that way. It took me a long time to figure out questionnaires were the answer to that specific problem.
Yeah, I would love to know, like, do you change your style of photography or the way that you approach a session if a couple says that they're pretty shy and reserved together versus saying that they're romantic and outgoing or something like that?
Yes, I used to change a lot of things, and now I hardly change anything. Mm-hmm. I feel like the the base of the actual style of photography is consistent, because I want to be known for that consistency. So if you're hiring me, you know what the heck you're getting. You can't say that you don't. But I am okay with doing more walking photos in the beginning, or maybe having someone's partner twirl them or run up and bear hug them from behind, whatever these like super simple go-to prompts that I can do. Maybe I spend more time on those in the beginning to help this shy couple liven up a little bit. See, I'm going to tell them exactly what to do and not put them on the spot and have them whisper something in their partner's ear, because they might be like, whoa, girl, I'm already nervous to be here. And now you're telling me to like get intimate. I'm not ready for this. And so it's just, I switch up my timeline, but I don't necessarily change up what I do.
I love that's a perfect explanation right there. Really lays it out, because I'm sure that some people are wondering, you know, like what sorts of things would you change? And the way that you broke it down there is perfect. And I know that's going to help a lot of people. So thank you.
Cool.
So you said that you've been in business now full time almost 3 years, or just over 3 years, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Just over. So my son is 3, and this is like, oh, this is easy math. So
I know, right?
Whenever my son turns the next year, it's like the following January, means I'll be in a full year of business. So this January of 2022 will be 4 years.
Well, congratulations again. That's a big milestone. But I want to know, because you've made, you know, quick rise in success in your photography and in your business in a relatively short amount of time. I'd love to know why you think that is.
Relentless, just nonstop finding out the whys, and if something should be better, making it better. And I think sometimes that's easy for me to say, because that's my personality. And so don't get me wrong, I struggle with the relaxation part, and you know, the thing is that I had to realize that me wanting to grow something quickly was actually a strength of mine. And so whenever I was able to give more attention to it and purposefully and intentionally focus on questioning every piece of my client interaction, I was able to then drive more business. But then I had to take care of myself on the back end and say, you know, here's where we need to lay down some laws and make sure that I don't spend too much time on the business side. And I had a bridal boutique owner who is a good friend of mine now. And she told me in the beginning that I was meant for greatness. She was like my biggest fan. And, you know, all these other photographers are like, who the heck is this Ellie girl? Like, what is she even doing around here? And this bridal shop owner was just like, I speak to you and I see it. I see that you're going to be successful. Just be careful of how quickly you get there and make sure you don't skip any steps. And I just remember thinking, I'm here to win though. Like, what do you mean? I want to be everything that you see me being. Like, why can't I be that tomorrow? And it took me a little bit to realize that it's okay to want something quickly and it's okay to have that drive, but you also have to be realistic about the actionable steps that you're taking. And so for me, I had to block out hours in my schedule that were for marketing, for responding to clients and all of these things, because if not, I'm just a big idea person. I just want to come up with the next best thing. I've got so many side projects going on, and I think there's beauty to be found in that. But it was the routine and the consistency that really creeped me out, that I had to focus on to be able to maintain the success I was seeing before I could easily lose it. You know, we can gain something just as quickly as we can lose it.
Right. And like you said earlier, you know, you wanted to leave that full-time job that you had so that you could, you know, be your own boss, so that you could make your own schedule. And then you figure out
quickly. And then I was working more hours.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then you get in here and you're like, wait a second. I actually have to be like more, you know, organized than ever, more strict with my schedule than ever. So, you know, in the beginning, what would you say were those few things that you focused on most for? Because saying, you know, I'm relentless, I'm going to go get it, that's one thing. But, you know, for somebody who's listening, you know, what are those actionable things that you did that you think really skyrocketed your success?
Absolutely. I focused on client experience. So I could talk about questionnaires all day, but I wanted to know what everybody thought of me, and I wasn't scared to ask. And well, I take that back. I was terrified. Yeah. But I followed through because I knew if I did something wrong, I didn't want to do it again. And I will never forget the questionnaire I got back from one bride. And she was like, you know, you posted our sneak peeks on Instagram without asking us first. I have never once done that again, ever, ever. And I see so many photographers doing it, and I think it's okay. But what we don't realize is that every move that we make, these people have been, some of them have been, you know, planning their entire lives around their future and what it's supposed to look like. So like this wedding day, it's not something that they just decided yesterday they wanted to do. Like this is something that some couples have been thinking about for a very, very long time. And how rude of me to not be grateful for somebody trusting me so much and seeing it as a marketing opportunity.
Right. Yeah, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. I hadn't really, you know, of course we think about these things. Of course we think about, you know, making the best client experience possible. But yeah, I probably would have just assumed that like everybody wants to, you know, be seen on Instagram. Like everybody wants their photo shared. But that's an interesting perspective there. I hadn't thought about that.
I know. And then I've got, so just a little back end of how I've been able to maneuver that, because you do have people who are like, ooh, please post me, please show my day off. So I just ask it in their wedding questionnaire.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. So I guess that, so you don't have to even have a full conversation about it. It's just a yes or no checkbox.
Exactly. So easy.
Perfect. So, you know, again, taking the leap into full time is this, it's this big step. Can you walk me through that decision that you were making, you know, when you decided to, I don't know, put in your 2-week notice or that last time you walked out the door? Like, what were you feeling? Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Here's the interesting thing, is that I wasn't as self-aware. So I thought that I wanted to do photography part-time, so then that way I could be home more. And then a few months in, I said, well, here, okay, this is full-time. So I was a business major in college. So I'm a weirdo who is in love with the business side of things. And so I made a photography business plan. I had marketing. I had how many weddings I needed at what rate. I had, you know, where I was going to connect with people, how much time I was going to spend on these things. I made my own website, and it was just something I had planned for a long time and put on the back burner. So to then come up with a business plan wasn't hard, because I already had a lot of these thought processes that had taken place over, you know, almost a decade. Right. Mm. So it was like, it's not something that just, or at least 7 years. So it's not something that I just put together randomly, but I made sure that I had all of the things in place, because I did not want to go back to that other job. So in order to be able to do that, I had to make a certain amount a month. And instead of just wishing and saying, oh, I hope people recognize me as a photographer, I sought out the people who I knew I was a good fit for. And there was a lot of questioning in it in the beginning, but as I just started marketing ads on Facebook, I didn't think twice. I just did test runs on ads to see if anybody cared to click on my website from it and things like that. And I think sometimes we wait on other people to give us permission to do something. And instead, I just made the mindset that I was going to try things willingly, even as much as I hate the word failure, but even if it didn't work, I knew not to do it again. Whereas if I didn't try, I was just going to be stuck in limbo wondering.
Right, right. So in that first year, if I read on Clubhouse correctly, the first year that you went full time, you hit six figures, correct?
Yes.
That is amazing. There's a lot of people who will go, you know, a real long time and never hit six figures. Tell me how that happens. You know, what was that your goal, or was that the byproduct of something that you were just doing naturally?
It was a mix of both. I had done the math. Like I said, I did this business plan for part-time. So as soon as I wanted to do full-time, I changed my entire business plan to match that. And I, oh my gosh, this is so funny, but I wanted to make more than my husband. Like I was like, I helped him get through graduate school. And so I had been the sole provider for so long and had recently taken, like, you know, the, oh my gosh, I don't know what to call it. I had recently let him follow his career and just been like, you know what, we're good. We're in a good place. Like, we can handle everything, to then being like, I want to be on top. And like, my husband is so sweet, 'cause he was like, I bet you can do it, babe. Instead of being like, why the heck are you trying to beat me? Right. Like, he was like, oh, that's a better life for me too. Okay, let's try it. And so he stepped in a lot for things that I was normally doing. And I don't want to say it's easier whenever you have partnership, but it certainly helps. You know, if somebody can help do the dishes because you want to work on your website after your little one goes to bed, I mean, it takes more than just one person trying to do something to get it on that level. And so I had like a ridiculous amount of support from him. And I was booking everything. You know, I was doing family sessions. I've not always been just a wedding photographer. I was doing maternity. I was doing birth. I mean, anything that anybody needed except for birthday parties. I think I did one and was like, all right, well, this is not the direction I want to take. So for that first year, I did everything. And whenever I say six figures, like I want to have some pride in that. But to be honest, it was one of the most unhappy moments in my life, because I had given everything to this vision and this dream that ended up just making me feel so unfulfilled because I wasn't producing things that I was excited about.
So how did you figure that out? How did you discover, like, okay, I'm going to stop doing senior sessions, I'm going to focus on weddings? What was that decision like for you?
I was so booked, like the demand was there, that I just thought, I can get enough weddings to support my family where I don't even need to do another session. So why am I making myself run around all of these different towns like a crazy person? I would be in like five cities in one day. I mean, yeah. It made no sense. It's not like I was pricing things at a rate that made sense either. It was just like hustle and hustle and hustle. And I'm not somebody who doesn't like the word hustle. I find that there's a lot of joy that can be found in hustling. But at the same time, it was to the point where it just became way too much. And so I had to step back on something, or else my entire family was going to be exhausted from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. So tell me, let's dive in then. Once you decide that weddings are going to be your thing, let's talk a little bit about marketing now, because marketing it's how we get clients, you know? Yes. And if you're going to hit six figures, very rarely, especially in that first year, like, there's no way that that's going to happen just from word of mouth, right? So tell me what your strategy was as far as marketing goes.
Yes. So I focused marketing on weddings because I knew that I was happiest photographing them. And if I could photograph something every day, I remember telling my husband, like, I would go to a wedding every day if I could. Now, mind you, looking back, I was probably a little overly excited and had way too much energy. That wouldn't be a reality. But, you know, it was something to where I had never had a wedding that I didn't like. It didn't matter if the decor was off, or I was like, oh my gosh, people are still using mason jars, or like whatever it was that was, you know, materialistically not on the level I wanted it to be. It didn't matter if that couple was in love. I really could care less. And this is why the environments don't matter as much to me. Of course, I love shooting in cool locations. And the more well-known I've become as a wedding photographer, the more amazing venues I'm introduced to. But in the beginning, I did not care. It was just about the couple making the experience the best that it could be and just learning and growing from them by asking them questions. And so marketing strategy was asking people to leave reviews, figuring out what they were talking about the most on reviews, and then using that in my marketing to communicate how, like, where the value is. Because I was confused. I'm like, I know I love people. I know I'm like running around like a crazy person. I'll capture anything that you could potentially need. But what is it about me? And so I used reviews as a way to get insight of what made me stand out.
Well, that makes it easy. That takes out all the guesswork, right?
Right.
Why don't more people do this?
I remember asking myself, like, why? What is it about me? I think we've all been there where we're like, well, I mean, there's a lot of good photographers. So, like, what is it? And hello, you could, I mean, reviews, like Google reviews, Wedding Wire, whatever you get reviews on, it's like written out. And whenever you see a word multiple times, you're like, oh, wow, that must be my secret sauce or whatever it is offer.
I love that. Well, that's easy. Okay. So that's something that we can start doing, you know, say after a wedding. What about to book the weddings? You know, again, we can take that information that we learned from reviews and put that in our marketing material to book a wedding. But I think that you mentioned Facebook ads there earlier. What were you doing there? Was there a strategy involved or was it just, hey, everybody come to my website and then see what happens?
I knew it was super annoying when people would be like booking 2019. Because I'd be like, well, everybody is.
Of course.
Right? Yes. And so I started with that though. So, and I wasn't getting much traction. I'm like, there's got to be, because the amount of views I was getting was great, but the number of people taking action from that was just way off. Mm-hmm. So then I started, and this is before I started using behind the scenes videos, which blew up. That's where most of the ads that did the best. That's what those were about. But before I even started in that direction, I started talking about why to have a photographer who can help you with your timeline. And it ended up working out because in all of my reviews, people talked about professionalism. And I'm like, no, I'm fun. What are they talking about? Like,
you can't be both. They're mutually exclusive.
Right. I'm like, ew, who has time for like the, you know, professional ones? But no, it was something that I would figure out their day, what photos they needed the most, and then help them navigate that timeline. And to be honest, I wasn't very good at it in the beginning, but I realized my frustration was not understanding what was happening on wedding day. So I wanted more control personally. But whenever it came to marketing, I was like, wait, I bet one of the biggest frustrations is wanting certain photos, but then not knowing when you're going to have time for them. So I just started marketing from there about how I was the photographer who was going to make sure your timeline matched your, you know, your, the gallery that you wanted to see.
So actually, this is actually something that I slightly struggle with now because for a while I was doing the same thing, you know, helping out with the timeline, and I found that it was getting good traction. But the weddings that I wanted to shoot typically had a planner, which they didn't need help with the timeline. Is this something that you're experiencing? And if so, what are you doing about that?
Yes, I love planners. So I go ahead and copy the planner. So in the original questionnaire, it asks if they have a planner and to leave their information. So whenever I go to say, hey, it's 3 months till your wedding day, would love to help you with your timeline if you need it, I always ask. I've never had anybody say no. And so the planner is like, oh, you're doing like this work for me? Great. I'll just take what you have as a base and then adjust. So in my beginning communication, I just say, here's how I would love to help everybody out. You know, after when the reception starts, I turn into paparazzi. So I'm not even worried about any of that. This is the before, getting ready photos, figuring out if they want a first look, defining how much time. I know how much time it takes me to shoot these individual things. Let me help you by giving you a rough draft. We can change it to best fit the needs of the couple. Mm-hmm. And so then the planner is always like, oh, okay, great. And I've never had any negative feedback from that, because I think for weddings, the biggest mistake that we have is whenever we just don't think there needs to be communication, or we wonder what other people think or how they're going to perceive us. And so instead, if we know that communication leads to better vendor teams, then it's just nice to be able to go ahead and say, hey, I'm not saying this is how it has to go. This is just how long it takes me, so that we can all be on the same page for the couple. And then it's just accepted a little easier, because I'm not saying this is how today, or this is how the day needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's never a bad idea to make friends with wedding planners. So
oh my gosh. No.
That's a fantastic strategy. Awesome. Well, can you tell me, what are you doing today to market your wedding photography?
Yes, I am in a really good place where a lot of it has to do with word of mouth, but Facebook ads, that, you know, now that Instagram is owned by Facebook, I feel like my ideal, or I don't feel, I've, you know, asked, and all of my ideal clients have been coming from Instagram. So I'm making sure that I am being seen by new people who are recently engaged on Instagram through Facebook ads, which has been super helpful in just making sure that I'm not sitting back waiting for certain people to find me. I'm definitely fighting for the people who I want to have as clients.
Yeah, I love that. So when it comes to you're doing, is it paid ads to yes. get in front of people on Instagram? Okay. So is the objective to get them to like your page? Is it to take action and go to your website or something else?
Yes. Take action and go to website. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we don't do as photographers is to put a call to action in our bio on our Instagram. So whether it's a paid ad, they need to go straight to your website, because we don't want them lost on Instagram, clicking another hashtag, clicking a geotag, hitting some other photographer or somebody who commented. They're not going to stay on your page for very long. But whenever you get them on your website, they're getting lost in you and what you provide, your different services, your expertise. And so I always make sure that people know the importance of marketing to get people on your website instead of just another follower. A follower doesn't make you any money, but getting somebody on your website to where you can gain their trust is where that turnover really comes through.
Mm. Let me think about this next question here. So we're getting people to our website. Are you sending them to a specific landing page, or is it just your homepage?
Specific landing page. So the first, and I do this very differently. So they're not going to pricing. They're not ready to pay me yet. Like this is not, and they're not even ready to like see my work yet, because they don't understand how I'm serving them. So I have them go to a blog that I've written on weddings versus elopements, so that they can get in the right mindset and have this very clear idea of what direction that they want to take in their, with their wedding day, what it needs to look like. And so at the end of that, there's a call to action to say elopements or weddings. So then they click on either and they see exactly what I provide, sample galleries. There's a video on the weddings page of me talking about creating a timeline. And then on the elopement page, it's like, it digs into a few different pieces. So then it's just easy stepping stones for clients to where they're getting the information that they really, really need. And then there's no confusion. It's just easy processing of the information that they're getting in a very specific order.
Yeah. And as you said, they get lost in you, which is really important there. That's awesome. Now, as creatives, let's talk a little bit about Instagram here. You know, as creatives, let me step back from that question there. I had like four questions going through my head right there. I was like, I love this. Okay. So with Instagram, how do you deal with the pressure to post? Because this is something that I struggle with, because when it comes to Instagram, it's a form of marketing, right? It's how we get in front of new clients. But at the same time, it's very easy to get sucked in and spend a lot more time than you were expecting to spend on Instagram. So how do you deal with, I guess, that balance there? Is that something that you have to deal with?
Yes, absolutely. The app Planoly,
Yes.
So I used to use Plan, and I've switched to Planoly. It's just easier to use. And there's a desktop version, which has made a biggest difference. So I'm no longer planning posts on my phone. I'm doing it on my computer. So there's less distraction of what other people are posting, or like me getting on Instagram or the other apps on my phone. I have time set aside to where I'm on my computer. I'm doing the layout. I'm making it make sense. Now, does it stay in that layout for me? Absolutely not. You mentioned earlier, whenever it came to like what I post, that I'm just like putting information out there. I'm just like spitting it out and seeing who takes it. And so I don't pre-plan what I say, just because I can't work that way. I have to, I don't know if you can tell the way that I, you know, talk about couples that I shoot, and their connection means the most to me. I don't care what setting they're in. It's the same for post. I can't just put something out there like, look at this dress from so-and-so. Don't you love the details and the beaded work? And then like, I used to do that all the time. And so I would post every day, but now it's proven that the more connected that you are with your followers, the more that they're going to look forward to your posts and things like this. So I'm in a very different place. When I wanted to be noticed, I was posting every day. Didn't care what the caption said, just made sure it was like a really good photo to give my photography business some validity, right? That I had like things going on. And now that I have that, it's more of how can I connect with people? I also do education things now, so I intermix those within the post too. But if I'm not connected to an image or have something very specific to say, then I won't post it. And so I can go like a week without posting.
Wow,
I'm not saying it's right.
No, I think this is it's part really refreshing and also part really scary because now tell me if I heard this right. So you will put all the photos in Planoly to schedule them out. And then when you get that notification on your phone, you'll open it up. You'll look at the photo and say, like, how am I feeling today? What does this say to me right now? And how can
what's
I connect
going
to my
on
clients?
In the world? Right.
And then you create that post, say, on your phone or something like that.
Yes. Or let's say, you know, I'm having a drink at night and for some reason my mind just goes to business and I think, oh my gosh, like I wish clients would know this, or I wish other photographers would look at it this way. I'll take down all the notes. I'll wake up the next morning with a fresh mindset and review what I said and tweak it to where it makes it's less emotional, really, because I'm a very emotional person. So I don't want it to be just like total word vomit. I like the partial word vomit because it makes me think of something to say. But at the end of the day, I want people to connect with it. And in order to do that, sometimes I just have to look at it the next day, and sometimes the photo won't match. And so I'll have to just move things around. And so instead of prioritizing images, I prioritize mindset, thought processes, value. And I honestly don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't care because I want to show up. I want to have a legacy. I want to be known for something. And so if I affect 10 people in a positive way, that they were able to do better in their business or just think of the world in a different way, then that's what I would rather be known for than just posting every day a pretty image.
And my mind is racing right now because I'm trying to think about how to...
I'm being super vulnerable right now too, because I followed all of the Instagram. I mean, I've done everything, right?
But so like is everybody else, right? Yeah. Like we have to find a way to do something different. Yeah. And I can tell you from personal experience, I mean, you know, the struggles, you know, how long it takes and, you know, how we're putting in more hours in our business than we would if we were just at like a W-2 job. And sometimes I try to cut corners, you know, and it's so easy to just, I'll tell you what I'm doing right now. You're probably gonna laugh at this. There's a service that's kind of like, Planoly, except you can like auto, you can like reschedule things, right? So essentially you just have like a bucket of content that you throw in and then it will just recycle it.
Totally.
And I already put in like 300 posts. I spent like the last month doing this. I put in like 300 posts and I was like, I'm good. This is going to save me so much time from not having to like write captions and stuff. But that is exactly what I was worried about, is like, what's going to happen to those people who, like, am I going to be able to still connect with my clients here? And well, now I don't want to say that I'm going to go back to the drawing board because, but I think that I do have to find some sort of balance here, because I love that idea. And I know from experience that those posts that I, you know, photos with me and my family, or those more mm-hmm. personal moments, those things that are obviously connecting with people,
right,
is because it's real. You know,
and you know, Instagram happens to be something I love, and I know a lot of people do not. So I'm willing to put myself out there and share and things like this. And for other people, it might be a different app. It might be the word of mouth that they really want to focus on. So it's not to say it's the only way, but that is where I find so much joy, is the comment or the DM that I get saying, "You made a difference in my day. Thanks for that." And I'm just like, my heart is just like beating out of my chest. I'm like, yes, I need to do it again. And then I can't think of content, so I wait a week and then I'm like, all right, I'm back at it. And so, it looks different, but why not have those posts scheduled so that you continue to show up, and then just insert these like full of value and world context information when you think of it, you know, like I think that's a good balance to have too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, I can fit it into my, you know, schedule to be able to show up for my clients like that. So let's talk about that a little bit more, because systems and workflows are things that, like, you're kind of known for. You love to talk about these things. And as creatives, we kind of get wrapped up in this world of beautiful things and just wishing that we could, you know, create all day long. But from the business standpoint, we have to have some sort of structure. So as somebody who, helps and educates other photographers who are growing their business, where do you see other photographers missing the mark? Like, where do you see them struggle most when it comes to workflows and systems?
Absolutely. Whenever they play the blame game, and I talk about this a lot because it's a huge frustration that I have, and I get so passionate and so worked up about it. My poor mentees are probably like, well, okay, I get it. But it's one of those things where, if something is bothering you that isn't going right in your business, why not change it? Why not be the difference? A prime example of this, and I'll just give a very personal one. I actually love big weddings, and I know with COVID, they're not a huge deal right now, but I do love them. And so one of the things that frustrated me is that I would walk in and there would be the bride getting ready and 8 other girls getting ready. Maybe the flower girls are there. It's a full room of people you've never met before. And there would just be this weird feeling where everybody was just sort of timid, or like, oh, is she like, do I look good yet? Is my makeup done? And like, you could just feel a room tense up. And I didn't like that. I didn't like it for a very long time, until about 2 years in full time. And I said, I'm going to change that. So I came up with an email template that I send to the bride and groom, and I say, hey, I'd love to connect with your bridal party. That way they can know what the heck is going on. So I send them a timeline that's very short. It just tells them when to be dressed by, when I'm showing up. Do I have any helpers who want to help me clean up the room right before detail shots or anything like that? And now I walk into weddings and I feel like my best friends are there, because I also obviously like link my Instagram, which again helps with following and all of these things. I could be like, you know, super, what's the word? Selfish over. I'd be like, yeah, I get these like followers. And, but that's not why I did it in the beginning. It's just a perk of communication. And so now I walk into a room and they're like, Ellie's here. Look, we cleaned this corner for you. We think her dress would be so great hanging right here. And you're like, yes, girls, let's get it. And you have like these connections that you can make through just one little communication piece that I wasn't doing. And it frustrated me to the point where I almost didn't like weddings anymore, because I hated that awkward feeling of trying to get people in a good mood, but not wanting to be too much on them. And they're just strangers. And so now I can walk into these rooms, but if I wouldn't have said I can change this, I would still be sitting frustrated. And that's the biggest thing that I see in photographers who are new is that they just lay in their frustrations instead of thinking, okay, what can I do about this? This is my job. I'm the expert. I see this over and over again. How can I change this to make my life better and then directly impact the lives of those around me? And it just takes a second to just think outside of yourself and realize, is there anything that I can do? And the answer is almost always yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's such like a small, easy thing, you know, that like, why shouldn't we be doing that to once again, I mean, build trust and, you know, I'm sure that, if, you know, a bride and a groom are getting married, they're, you know, their bridal party, there's a good chance that they could be getting married as well. So the earlier that you can form that relationship could only do good things for you, right? Like nothing ever bad has come from that, right? Nobody's ever showed up and they're like, oh, here's the girl who had the super helpful timeline. Great. This is wonderful.
Here's the girl who wanted to introduce herself. Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's never happened. And I always ask the couple because I do want their permission and I want them to know, hey, you can copy and paste this or you can send me the emails, whatever's easiest for you. And then it's just like, they're thinking, oh, I have all these other things to tell them. So some couples will be like, you know, I wanted to update everybody on this too. And I'll be like, I'll send it for you. Just let me know what communication you need. And it'll just be a one email that they can look to for all information. And I don't mind doing that because all of my other emails are automated. So this is something to where I can take the time to be there for them. That's not overwhelming because the initial email of, hey, can we do this thing was already planned as soon as they booked. So it's not me taking extra time. I'm just sitting here waiting for a response. Most of the time to know when to do the next thing instead of being the person who has to like write it in a calendar and figure all these things out.
Yeah. And today there's so many tools that help make automation a whole lot easier. So that's great.
Yes.
You know, if anybody spends any time on your Instagram, they're going to see comments on your photos that describe you as brave, as strong, as a fearless woman who takes charge, you know, and then we read some of your own posts where you are open and you talk about struggles that you have in obviously, you know, our lives and our relationships and, you know, raising a young son. And, you know, when it comes to, what's the question that I'm trying to ask here? How do you like where is that balance, right? Because on one side you are what other people are looking up to, you know, but at the same time what you're saying is that like I'm still a human. Like I'm here. You know, where this is a terrible question. I apologize for this. I just realized it sounds like a really bad question. But does this make sense? Where's that balance for you? Wow, this is like the worst question I've ever asked. You're not trying to put off, obviously, like something that you're not. You're trying to be authentic to who you are. Okay, here's the question that I'm asking, right?
Love it.
With you being open and vulnerable, why do you think that resonates so well with people who use terms like, you know, strong, fearless, brave, those types of things? Does that make sense?
It totally does. Nobody's ever asked me this, so I can feel like my heart racing.
Nobody's ever asked you a 15-minute long question?
Not even that. It's there's been a lot of comments around my posts, especially whenever it has to do with worldly views, but nobody who's ever specifically asked me. And I forgot people say that in comments. So thanks for that reminder, because I totally forgot. You know, the balance in being able to know how much to say and what not to say. There is a
That's what I was trying to say the whole time. So yes.
I totally get it. I'm with you. And that's the thing is I push boundaries. I do. I talk about Black Lives Matter. I talk about LGBTQ+. I talk about raising a son and what that could look like, what I want it to look like. There are people who disagree with me and I've had to be okay with that because one of the things that I focus on is core values within my business. And so I saw people, I probably can't even call them out. So let me not like word vomit that. I saw big companies not saying anything about anything and just going about their normal sales and their normal marketing themes and they're normal. And I'm like, our United States is not in a great place, guys. Don't know where you're at, like what life you're living. But there were two businesses that I can think of off the top of my head. And I follow a lot of people on Instagram, but there were two that were making a difference. And I decided right then and there that even if I make a mistake, even if I say something wrong, even if people get upset or I have unfollowing from this, I'm going to be more upset with myself for not being the person that I've always been if I don't say a thing. And so for me in high school, I was signing petitions because I'm like, why can't these people be together? If I'm allowed to hold hands with my boyfriend, like why the heck can't they? And so I get like the PDA thing. And, you know, my dad was a school psychologist. The whole thing was very interesting, but it's like, I've never been a person to shut up in the face of fearing what other people think. But owning your own business gives you a whole other type of fear because you're like, what if nothing works out? And so I had that in the back of my mind. But after talking to my go-to friends, I've got like three of them. They all said, you've never not said something. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if you're in front of somebody's face, if you're like the person that I am is always saying something. And I want it to be in a way that's as welcoming as possible. So I was very careful with my words. And I did have clients who disagreed with me. And oh, I forgot about this. So I sent out an email to the clients that I had saying, hey, here's the direction I'm going to take. I need you to know this. If there's anything that you disagree with or need to talk about before I do, please let me know. The people who disagreed didn't say a thing. They're like, Ellie's just going to do her thing. Like we kind of already know this about her. But it gave me a chance to have the confidence to go into it saying, I want a better future for everyone. And if I don't say something now, I'm not going to live the life that I wanted to lead.
What would you do if, you know, I guess what's the worst case scenario for you there?
Maybe a cancellation saying I'm not the photographer for them. And I was just going to refund in that scenario and help them find another photographer. It's not worth any amount of money to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you didn't see that happen. You saw the opposite happen. You saw people go in even deeper into who you are and invest in you.
And I started booking way more. Like my business grew and that was not even the purpose. I was shaking over the things I was crying. I told you I was emotional. I'm like crying at home, like trying to tell my husband, like there's got to be more to life than me just being a photographer. Like, believe me, those conversations were just like, ooh, they were intense.
Sure.
And it just led to being a better business for me because I was honest. Nobody ever has to wonder where I stand. I support every single couple in the best way that I know how. And how can you combat with that? You know?
If somebody right now is listening and they're thinking like, yes, like I want to be more open about who I am. I want to share more of my views and I want the world to be a better place, but they are worried about backlash or what have you. What advice would you give to them?
You will absolutely have backlash. It will be there. If what you're saying does not negatively impact anybody else, then you're saying the right things and you should be pushing for it and you will find your people. Your people will come to you again with this thing is, oh, I really hope like certain people hire me because I would just love to be around people who are open to people loving people. And that's what I want to drive. And you can't just put out this feeling in the universe for those people to come to you. You've got to make it happen. So speaking to that and being very sincere about, you know, whatever you're passionate about, you know, and if it, my biggest thing is that if it does not negatively impact anybody else, it's worth fighting for.
That's the power of vulnerability right there.
Yeah. Right.
That's perfect. Ellie, we have come to an end here as far as our time together today. You have been an open book, which I expected nothing less. And, you know, awesome. You're here, you showed up, you're awesome. Before I let you go, I guess one last question for you. Was there anything that I didn't ask you today that you want to make sure that new photographers fully understand before heading off into this journey of photography?
Yeah. Yes. I think you're going to hear a lot of good things from a lot of people, even if they go in opposite directions, right? Like there's so much information out there. It's just overload. And so if something feels good and it excites you, try it. If you have this gut feeling that you're just not sure if it's a direction you want to take, don't. And seriously spend time focusing on what you're already good at instead of trying to be like other people. And you'll just find that your business will grow based on what you're already passionate about and what already makes you special within yourself without having to try to just match up to other people who are growing at a rate that you want to be at. So the comparison game is a trap, and we know this. People talk about it all of the time, but I'm just here to say you already have that talent within you. So read your reviews, see what people are saying over and over again about you, and double down on those things instead of always trying to mold and form yourself into something else.
I can already imagine people in their cars like fist pumping, like, yeah, that's it. This is awesome. That was so great. Oh my gosh. Ellie, again, thank you so much for coming on today. Before I let you go, can you share where listeners can find out more about you and follow you along? What am I trying to say here? Just follow you online.
Come along. Yeah.
Let's go. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Ellie McKinney Photography. It's real long. I can't change it at this point, but Ellie McKinney Photography on Instagram. And I've also been really loving Clubhouse recently. I just love vulnerable chats. So either one is a great place to find me. And I just appreciate you for, you know, taking the time to interview me on something that I forgot I was good at. So thank you for that reminder.
I really hope that you enjoyed today's interview with Ellie McKinney. I have three takeaways from this episode. The first one is how important it is to have passion, confidence, and dedication. It is so important to pursue photography with, I mean, extreme passion, even if you lack the experience. Just because you don't know everything about photography doesn't mean that you don't know anything about photography. That's a photography manifesto rule right there. So again, even if you don't have all the experience, you can still pursue it with relentless passion. And then you combine that with a little bit of confidence in your work, and you're just going to see consistent improvement over and over and over again. Takeaway number two was the importance of composition and lighting. You know, Ellie talks about how important lighting is to her and to creating the visual appeal that it is that she's looking for in her images, that she's known for. Lighting is just one of the most important elements of photography, if not the most important element of photography. That's all that your camera is seeing, is the light that comes in through the lens, focused on the sensor. So when you can control that light, the outcome of your images is just going to go through the roof. And takeaway number three, it's no surprise, is just being authentic in your brand, in your business, in your photography, honestly. You know, when you embrace that authenticity in your own photography, whether it's through the images or your marketing or both, honestly, how powerful that can be. When you align your marketing strategies with your true passion, you are going to attract the right audience and stand out from the crowd. That is how you do it. You just got to be yourself. Your parents told you this years ago. You just got to be yourself. That is it this week. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode. Remember, until next week, the more that you shoot today, the better of a photographer you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.